Well, it's a dynamic duo, we'll be back again. Other backers, DJ, you better pack it in. You're lacking sense, trying to tangle with us. Go with the big black boogies in the back of the bus. Just smacking you up, and stealing your lunch money. You're such a buddy, if you look just a touch. Only by the end of the day, that's understandable. What can I say? You got strong man to be.
Gary has absolutely no idea what has happened to it. Still doesn't know.
Chaos,
wonder, drama, full slates of games today and in a couple of days. So hopefully you're listening to this episode of the Balls Podcast. I'm Doc, he's Bezo. On Sunday, in between the second last and the last regular season days of the year, because I think a lot of what we're going to end up talking about is what the fuck is going to happen when the final slate of games is played Monday morning ANZ time.
Yeah, there was a couple of Twitter accounts that was like, you know, doing if this, then that statements about the Eastern Conference. And it was like one of the most complicated pieces of code that man has ever written.
I tried to go through and find games that literally had nothing writing on them. I think I found two. Boston are playing the Wizards, and Detroit and San Antonio are playing each other. Every other fucking game has something riding on it, and it's chaos. There is currently a three-way tie at the top of the Western Conference, which is decided by head-to-head record. So OKC are the ones.
Actually, yeah, it's not even decided by head-to-head. It's cumulative head-to-head record because there's a three-way tie. So even though
it's head-to-head record just between the three of them.
Yeah, Minnesota has the tiebreak over OKC, but because OKC has won more of the games between, like, my brain broke. Do you know what the funny thing was when Denver like had that sort of let's put the foot down against Minnesota the other day? I thought, I wonder whether they'd lose to the Spurs and just gently slide out of the Mavs side of the bracket. You know, it doesn't really matter.
I don't think you can plan to do anything because there's too many moving parts. I mean, nobody is planning to do anything apart from, as we've discussed, Milwaukee are clearly doing this on purpose because how the hell could you be this bad by accident?
Well, our Balls Podcast certified Knicks might finish second in the East, baby.
Yes. Well, there was one of those graphics that the NBA put out sort of explaining who could finish in what seeding positions. And there were like six different teams that could finish in the fifth, sixth, and seventh seed at one point this week. It's slowly died off now, but it is nuts. It is fucking nuts. But even if you just walk through it, you just go through it from the top. Obviously, the only people who are locked into their position essentially are Boston in the one in the East. And
the Bulls and the Hawks.
And the Bulls and the Hawks at the bottom of the East, and everything else is up for debate. Miami are eighth, but they're a win behind Indiana, who have exactly the same record as the Magic and Philadelphia. Cleveland are fourth at 48 wins, but that's only one win behind Milwaukee and New York. So all of this is in play. Milwaukee have to start winning again super quick, or they will end up in the 4-5 game against Orlando or Philadelphia. If they're trying to avoid Philadelphia, for example, how the fuck would they know where to avoid them? Where do you run to?
Yeah, that's right. Well, the funniest first round matchup would be Celtics Heat and Bucks Pacers.
I think I'm okay for Celtics Heat. I think I've had enough Celtics Heat. I'd much rather see Sixers Celtics.
But Celtics anyone, if they, like, you know, they've got those first two home games. If they lost one of those home games in a very Celtics-y way, like not being able to execute down the stretch and Tatum taking Kobe shots in the first round against a pretty miserable 7-8 sort of area of the East, like, you know, they really need to sweep that first round to calm some nerves. Like, even a 4-2 wouldn't really put anyone make anyone feel relaxed about the Celtics, would it?
Probably not. I mean, they'll probably end up with someone like Indiana, who are a shadow of the team that went to the in-season tournament. They're just not that team anymore. They've been pretty mediocre. They've probably been barely .500. I can't be bothered doing the numbers, but they've been pretty average ever since.
This is a little bugbear of mine. But the 65-game rule, right, which decides whether Halliburton gets, you know, lots of money or generational money, like, he clearly came back before he was ready to make sure he could play 65 games.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know whether you can attribute that to that. I think you can say, well, from the outside, that's what it looks like. I think he's a dude who likes to play basketball games, and his team was in a tight construct. And it's not – it's fucking generational money no matter what. It's just an extra year. True. It's just an extra 5%. It's not the end of the fucking world. If you're that good, you can make the money up in other ways.
I'm definitely not crying for Halliburton, but if Halliburton had an extra 10 days off and his hamstring still wasn't niggly and we got the awesome Halliburton from the start of the season, I'd be a lot happier about these finals. Like, he's just – when he's at full tilt, he's awesome, right? And he's obviously not at full tilt.
Well, and ironically, because he didn't have those 10 days off, now they're not going to get a week off.
Yeah, he'll probably miss 13.
Yeah, they're going to have to play at least once next week and then have to play whoever decides they most want to finish second.
Yeah.
So the battle for second in the East comes down to basically Milwaukee versus Orlando. Cleveland have got Charlotte, so they should be able to deal to them.
Yeah, Charlotte's been frisky lately. Yep, who have the Knicks got last?
New Yorker at Chicago, and Chicago don't need to win that game to make any difference to their life.
So that
Orlando need to win because they are currently seventh in the East, even though they have a record almost good enough to be in the argument for fourth, or at least fifth.
Yeah, that's another weird one. I really thought that, like, with their destiny in their own hands, that they might come home strong. And then who did they lose to before Milwaukee? Like the Wizards or someone like that? And it was like, oh, man, that's just such a brutal loss.
Well, they lost to the Sixers today. A lot of really good teams lost today. I mean, the Magic lost, of course. The Nuggets lost today. The Bucks lost today. The Mavericks and the Clippers are both losing in almost like they've got a handshake agreement because neither of them can move up and down in the 4-5, essentially. So that's where they are. The Warriors lost today. Seemed like a bad plan, but they did lose to the Pelicans, who need to keep winning. Kings lost today, but it was to the Suns. And as I said, the Clippers lost today to the Jazz. So I feel like there are some teams that are just going to be running dead on the final day, or at least not playing with any particular energy. So you can almost say the Houston versus LA Clippers game is another game that essentially has nothing running on it, whereas the Lakers are playing the Pelicans and both badly need to win that game.
Yeah. Like, the Pelicans are funny. Like, the Mavericks are sort of everyone's, oh, could the Mavericks, you know, are the Mavericks the other team that might be able to cause the Nuggets some problems? And it's just like, man, the Pelicans have just been turning it on in spots.
Yeah.
You know, Zion's decided that he can just steal and block everything.
They should be getting B.I. back. As an answer to your question of last week, they should be getting Ingram back for tomorrow's game, as you hear this.
Yeah. And he might just be the little bit of scoring punch they need with bench units. Like, even just a bit of scoring punch with bench units might be enough to slide them through the first round.
They really need to slide themselves out of the fucking play-in. That's the issue they got right now.
One of those three top teams in the West could easily lose in the first round is sort of my...
Or particularly the young teams. The old team, the defending champions, I don't hold any fears for, but... Either of those two young teams, yeah, you have your concerns.
Yeah, and then next year in the West, you know, the Rockets will improve. The Spurs might get an actual point guard to go with this dude that seems to be quite tall and play all right. And Memphis will be back with a whole bunch of, you know, young guys that they blooded by necessity to go with their stars next year, like.
Yeah, I feel like Memphis's ceiling might be Sacramento's ceiling. I think they might be kind of around there. And although the Spurs will be better, I think it's still going to be a few years before they are like OKC level contending, because that's what we saw with OKC.
Sure. I reckon next year they'll be in that OKC spot from last year, which is 9-10 in the playing game.
Yeah, for sure. I think Memphis,
you know, maybe a plucky loss. Memphis, you're right. Memphis are probably going to be a 6-7 seed. But the wild card that I think is, what do the Suns do if they completely flame out this season? Like,
I mean, don't you feel like they already kind of have? I mean,
yeah, like
battling not to be in the play-in was not the plan, as we discussed at the start of the year. We thought, you know, we thought they would be up there with the Nuggets, and they just literally aren't. And it's not that KD is washed, but it's just the issue that we always observe, which is, a big three isn't enough if you don't have anything else around it.
Well, and that they've got to accept that they're going to lose Grayson Allen because a little
which
bit
which is
like,
a sentence nobody else has ever said before in the history of the world. Who gives a single fuck? Grayson Allen is Grayson Allen, but Grayson Allen is the kind of dude that they need.
He's got an NBA skill.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's a little bit like Dante DiVincenzo last year at the Warriors, right? He had a really good year and they got really good value out of him, and then he went and got paid by a team that had the cap space to pay him really good money. And the Grizzlies or the Rockets are the perfect team for a Grayson Allen, right? Just come off the bench and shoot threes.
I can't believe how future-pilled you are that you want to talk about what's going to happen next year when we literally haven't figured out what's going to happen tomorrow.
Well, I think
literally
I
tomorrow.
Think
the world is the basketball.
Problem.
This is the problem with all NBA discourse. It's not just you. I'm not trying to pick on you. But we are constantly driven to, oh, wait till next year. Oh, I can't wait till. What about fucking right now? Let's celebrate what's happening right now. There's an insane roster of fucking shit going on. And then the play-in's going to be insane. It's going to be amazing.
Well, the play-in's going to be in the West is just like the referendum on two teams. Like one of them has to lose, right?
Yes.
One superstar is going out and he's not going to be very happy out of that play-in. And
yeah,
look, I know Draymond's been playing amazing lately, but what is Golden State going to do? I just don't.
Again with the future. What are Golden State going to do fucking tomorrow?
No. What are Golden State going to do, like, for the play-in? I just don't know whether they've got the weapons anymore to, like, once upon a time, Golden State in a 9 seed, you go, oh, Golden State, Draymond's back in form, here they come. And it's like, they're not beating anyone else in the top 6 in the West. Even the Suns. I don't have any faith that they would go out and beat the Suns 4 games out of 7.
So if everyone either holds serve or Sacramento have got a difficult game, let's assume they lose and Golden State sneak up to the 9. They could deal with the Kings, and we've seen them deal with the Lakers. Okay, I'd still feel like Golden State have enough single game bullshit to be able to drag themselves out of that, and they only have to play Utah. I'm going to keep saying tomorrow, even though it's 2 days' time as we record this.
Yeah.
Utah aren't playing for anything anymore.
The Lakers can't. The Kings would have to win for the Lakers to slide back into the 9.
That's correct. Yeah, and the Lakers would have to lose their game to whoever I just said they were playing.
The Pelicans.
Which is entirely possible because the Pelicans are just trying to hold serve. They really want to get to 50 wins. They can't get ahead of Dallas, as far as I understand. But it means that they don't get sucked into that play-in. So they're going to be desperate to win that game.
Yeah, I think Dallas has the head-to-head, so even if the Pelicans finish the same, and the Mavs will sit everyone, I think. I don't think they'll...
Yeah, which will be good for OKC because they're playing OKC, and OKC presumably just want to keep winning so that they can hold the 1 seed through to...
Timber Puppies got?
They got Cat back today, and they eked out a win that was basically just driven by... was mostly driven by Ant doing Ant things late, but also Cat hit at least one clutch three that I saw. I was watching on NBA Crunch Time, which is only available to US audiences, but luckily my computer lives in America when I choose it to, and was able to watch that because that's like their NFL Red Zone sort of thing. Doesn't work anywhere near as well because it's basketball, but if you've got 15 games going on at the same time, or at least, you know, at that time of day, you know, 7 or 8 games going on at the same time, that's probably the best way to do it.
It's almost like Wob's Twitter feed when he's excited and he's just tweeting highlight clips.
Yes. Like, what game is this from? Is this even from today? It just gets completely bewildering.
And then he does his weary, which has not been too bad this year, obviously, because the Knicks are a lot better, but he's like weary, you know, Knicks record thoughts.
Yes.
Direct-to-camera piece, which I quite enjoy. He's good value.
They can't complain about it this year. I mean, the Knicks record, they could very, very easily end up. I mean, they've only got – they're at home hosting Chicago. It's there to win. It's there to take. The and Milwaukee – at this stage, I'm not sure I trust Milwaukee to beat Orlando. It depends if Dame is playing. It depends how well he's playing. They're not getting Giannis back until
– yeah. Calves are tricky too.
Well, it's not only that. It's the muscle that lives right next to the Achilles. And you think – you know, there was a bit of that with KD's where it was, you know, his constant ankle problems actually ended up causing the Achilles issue, or at least sort of destabilized everything around it.
Yeah, it hasn't. It's probably the worst two seed year that anyone's ever had, right? Can you remember anyone having a year where it's like, oh, you finished second in a conference, and it's like, yeah, but that was a shit year. That was terrible. We fired our coach. Our other coach is like only mildly interested in the job and rags on the players all the time. Our best player.
And the baggage stuff.
Yeah, the baggage stuff. Our best player tore a calf with 5 days left in the season. We probably overpaid for our star point guard.
Yeah, our 1B went through a painful divorce and constantly, you know, is behaving like, you know, some depressed single dad and or Bill Murray in Lost in Translation, just hanging out in his hotel room.
Other than that, it's you know, we won.
And yet they're the second best team in the East.
I know. It's just not.
They're definitely better than Cleveland, and they're definitely better than the Knicks.
Well, and they're definitely Cleveland better than are like an even, you know, like talking, you know, that future talk, like every podcast I've heard this week is like, what are Cleveland going to do? You know, do they trade Mitchell and keep Garland? Is Mobley a key piece? It's like,
yeah, I've heard them, you know, quite a few, well, more than just you, shipping Garland to the Spurs as a result of Cleveland re-upping with Donovan Mitchell.
I know you made the sex pest jokes, but oh, I reckon the Spurs should be chasing Giddy. I reckon Giddy, like a big tall guy to throw alley-oops to your big tall guy, who isn't a point guard that, you know, who isn't like Garland's a real score for, like he's in the Brunson style of point guard, and I don't think that's what you need with Wemby. I think you need a setup guy. I think you need a guy that just fucking all he wants to do is throw cool passes to get other people done.
Yeah, you need a score last point guard.
Yeah, and then if your guy that's throwing the passes to your star is also 6'8", and then you can just surround him with other tall dudes, which is essentially what OKC have done, right, with their wing rotation. Because I just don't think they're going to give Giddy max money. Like I just don't think OKC is that sort of team, right? That if he wants to stay there for less, they'll keep him. But I think he'll get moved on.
Bezo, how do we end up talking about the future again?
Focus. Well, the really interesting thing about OKC is
that they SGA might be the best team in the Western Conference tomorrow when they win.
SGA went out and it's like, oh, actually, Giddy's quite good at running a team and does really well on that spot, but he doesn't.
He has been really good. He's been better than Chet recently, which I wouldn't.
Yeah,
wouldn't
and then to say. And then SGA comes back and it's sort of like, well, you now sort of have to go and stand over here playing with the starter. They just haven't quite figured out how to weaponize the fact that he's a really good secondary playmaker.
Are you saying that he's like the James Harden of the 2011-12 team?
I guess so, yeah.
He's too good to stay on the team in the role that he's in, so they're going to have to trade him to somewhere else. And also, he's got weird sex habits.
Except I think that like that coaching staff is actually really good at making, like figuring stuff out and making it work. Like I don't think there are, you know, this is my game plan, this is how we're going to play sort of coaching staff. I think they're quite good at figuring stuff out like that. And maybe it's just a construct of the fact that SGA is just so fucking good that when you play games, you, like even Giddy wants to put the ball in his hands because he's just that good. Like I've definitely played with players like that before. It's like, you just want to get them the ball because it's awesome to watch them do shit. So it might not even necessarily be a coaching staff thing. It might be just the players around SGA naturally default to, let's give it to the guy that's just fucking awesome.
He's also, you know, by comparison, he's the grown-up in the room.
Oh. Yep.
He's a senior pro at all of 25 or whatever the fuck he is.
As I like to yell at podcasts, they're like, oh, such and such is, you know, such a good young player. He's only 21. And I'm like, did he just turn 20, you motherfuckers? He's younger than all these young dudes you go that have so much potential. It's like, I realize he's been in the league for 3 years, but he's still really fucking young in a sport where, like, what, Ant's 23 and everyone was like, oh, it might be, you know, he might need two more years before he can really grow into his powers. You know, what's 24, 25 is when everyone seems to think that an NBA star is, you know, fully weaponized.
I think it's also, you know, when their brain stops being complete mush.
true.
Because, you know, Ant is still capable of, you know, posting some absolute dog shit on Instagram or, you know. All the dumb shit we see in the league is done by young players. I mean, Jonte Porter.
What's Gilbert Arenas' excuse then?
I think that's just a hell of a lot of the fucking the magic weed, the schmoke, all that schmoke. I think he was always a bit NeuroSpicy would be far too kind. I think he was always a little bit touched in the fucking head, that Gilbert. Yeah.
What do you think about all NBA and record? How much do you think record matters, right? Because I was thinking about this, where you probably going to get two players from fairly average teams in the bottom of the West, and yet the top three teams that are, you know, far and away the best three teams in the West are not even going to get a sniff at a second player in all NBA.
Yeah, I don't think that for first team, you've got to be on a contender, because how the fuck have you contributed to significant winning if your team is arsehole?
Yeah, which is why Tatum's absolutely got to be. Like, if Davis makes first team over Tatum, like, that's a travesty. I know Davis has had an awesome year, but the Celtics are 15 games clear of everybody else, and it's a regular season award. It's not a referendum on how you're going to do in the finals. Like,
no, I think there's too much concern about, you know, and the same was true with Dirk's MVP. It's like, well, you know, we shouldn't have given that to him because he fell over in the playoffs. Playoffs aren't relevant to the fucking MVP, and they're not relevant to fucking all NBA. It's
all NBA, yeah.
Yeah. If you want to have an award, you've got an award for the MVP of the playoffs. It already exists.
Which is why I struggle with, like, Booker, Durant, LeBron, and AD all making all NBA teams when, like, the Pelicans are going to get no one.
Zion Williamson?
The Clippers might not get anyone.
Did PG make the games? Because Kawhi's made the games, hasn't he? Because he's played a shitload this year.
I think Kawhi might slide into third team.
How much of this is just reputational, though? Because you think, oh, you know, PG should be there, Kawhi should be there, you know. But you got to make room for these new guns.
But that's the thing about, like, people saying, well, if you leave LeBron off, who are you leaving him off for? And I'm like, one of the teams that's won 56 games in a conference, or, like, even Jaylen Brown could argue, I've done more to win regular season games this year than either LeBron or AD. Both those guys have been pretty healthy. And
you're sounding awfully like you're making a pro Eastern Conference argument here. Most of these games were played in the Eastern Conference, which I think you have always advocated for how great it is and how, you know, how it's definitely the equal of the West.
So the Celtics will definitely get one. The Bucks will get one. The Knicks will get one. The Cavs won't get any, but none of their guys qualify. The Magic won't get any. The Sixers might get one, and the Pacers might get one.
It's 15 slots, and it's non-positional anymore. Who are the Pacers going to have?
I think Halliburton might make 13.
He doesn't qualify on games.
Oh, doesn't he?
Well, wasn't that the issue? Because
that's why he... No, he came back. He will.
But he
will
came back him. And then got injured as a result of coming back and then went out again.
No, I think he qualifies. What's 65 games? Halliburton. I have no idea how I find out how many games he's played this year.
Welcome back to live Googling. I put in Halliburton games. It's on this page somewhere.
Yeah, I'm pretty
games played 67. 67. He's just in. He's just in. He had to play pretty much every game since the last time he went out.
Yeah, well, he has played every game. They were literally playing him like 20 and a half minutes a game, right? Get him over the 20 minutes, pull him.
But would you argue that, you know, since mid-year he's actually played well enough to justify being there?
No.
For a team that's going to be in the play-in?
No. And this year is really hard to, like, in another year you would have gone, look, that's probably enough. But no, like, well, then do you put Kawhi? Like, he's probably played as many awesome games as Kawhi has, right? Kawhi had that stretch of games that was just, like, where he was back to being prime Spurs or prime Raptors Kawhi.
They cared for 2 months, and it was a novel change.
Is that enough to... And I guess that's the argument for AD, right? Because AD's played 70-something games and has been awesome for just about every game. Like, he hasn't had too many games, and it's like, well, do you ding him because, you know, D'Angelo Russell can get 4 points or 30 points depending on which way he parts his hair? So
I think you ding him because the Lakers are 10 games behind the lead of the West. and, and are fine. I mean, they're 40. They're going to be a 46-47 win team, which is, I mean, that's great. They should be happy with that.
Yeah, in other years, that would have been, what, the sixth seed or something like that, probably? It's just the West is really good this year.
I mean, the West sixth seed is going to be a 50-win team, probably. But even in the East, the sixth seed is going to be a 47-win team.
The bad teams have been quite bad this year in both conferences.
Well, yeah, I alluded to this last week, but like two-thirds of the league is over 500, which is good because two-thirds of the league are going to the play-in.
And other than the Raptors, do you reckon that many teams, the bad teams this year, have tanked or just sucked because they have like the building blocks of a team and nothing else? You know, like the Trailblazers.
Portland are now last in the Western Conference. They are genuinely bad.
Yeah, like they're genuinely bad, but it's not like they're sitting players just to tank. They're just bad because they don't have any good players, right? All their talented players aren't good enough yet. They're essentially too young and too green to really contribute to winning. Like they're the
I don't know, man. Even their like second and third year guards have all had mysterious, you know, season ending injuries in the last couple of weeks. No one's noticed, but whereas San Antonio is still out there trying to win games and succeeding in winning games.
The tank. The only real sort of obvious tank job has been Toronto, which traded its players and then just basically
tactical tank job. Yeah,
dived off a high board into the bottom of the Eastern Conference.
And they should keep their pick if the maths work out. They've got the...
That's a Spurs pick too that they owe, isn't it?
They've got the sixth worst record, and it's... There are two guys... Yeah, they can't finish any... Like, Memphis can't suck more than them and take the sixth worst record off them. So if...
If it went short, if it all goes, they'd be fine.
Yeah, as long as nobody from outside the top six jumps up to first, second, or third in the draft lottery, because it's only the first three spots that are drafted for, I think, aren't they? The rest of it is just chalk. I think that's true. I might have that wrong. Yeah. I don't care.
Let's not.
I'm less and less convinced. Even though we're trying not to talk about the future here, I'm less and less convinced that Masai still has his fastball. In terms of, you know, pulling together a team.
It's a little bit like the 76ers, right? The league's changed around those guys, around Maury and Masai, and, you know, the things that they had that worked no longer worked. And like the Spurs too, right?
Because everybody else uses those same, you know, incremental advantages.
That's right. It's easy to zag the first couple of times, but when everyone is zagging, how do you go back to being the zig?
Well, particularly when you know, the guys that you... I mean, they're different sorts of dudes, Maury and Masai, because Maury has... You know, he has his methodology and his attitudes and his particular philosophies, but he also has a weird allegiance to certain dudes.
Yep.
Is he almost like a guy who's played Football Manager or something like that, one of those games, and he just has so much trust in this one dude that he's always looked after him for so long. But that was last season with James Harden was a perfect example of when, you know, your trust doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
You actually needed to go back to the drawing board and be analytical and pull it down to the studs.
Shall we talk about the wins pool?
We should talk about the wins pool, and this is really what everyone's really waiting to find out about. Everyone's fascinated by this, I'm sure. Adam has 420 wins, Bezo has 415, and Doc has just watching. There are enough games left for this to be, obviously, for this to be in contention. Now, Adam has two games where his teams are playing each other, so there's guaranteed wins. Bezo has one, so you could say that it's essentially a six-win lead for Adam. So Bezo essentially needs seven wins, and he has eight games against teams that are not his own.
So
there are, he would pretty much need to
right.
run the table.
Yeah.
Basically, but if Adam wins, I think if Adam wins one of he and you have three games against your team versus his team. I think if Adam wins one of those, I think that might be it. You might end up in a tie, but. Yeah, the changeover will mean that it'd be really difficult. I don't think there is a tiebreaker system built into the software, but I don't think we've ever ratified whether that was something we believed in. Basically, it's drop your worst result, you know, drop your worst performing team, in which case Adam is currently ahead, but if you make up, you know, that number of wins, you'll probably be ahead of him on the tiebreaker as well. So
there was that one slate of games about a week ago where I think I was 16 points behind, so I feel, if nothing else, I've had an England Ashes victory.
what, you've told the newspapers to tell people that you've won, even though you won in the friendlies. I don't think they have them anymore. I think they've turned on a mile, mate, from down the road in St Kilda.
Oh, dear. If there even is going to be a T20 World Cup, hasn't the organising body gone bankrupt, or the sponsors have run away, or?
Oh, this is the one that's going to be in the States, isn't it? Allegedly.
Yeah.
I thought it was Cricket USA that had gone bankrupt, and like it wasn't necessarily the organisers, but maybe everyone's gone tits up.
I know that the main sponsor just said, no, we've had enough. It's almost like Alex Rodriguez and Glenn Taylor are running that competition.
Yeah.
So that was a fascinating little bit about, you know, A-Rod was put a submission in that they were just essentially going to gut the team of, what, $50 million of salary in the first year they were going to own it. How would you feel if you're a Timberwolves fan? I know Glenn Taylor hasn't exactly paid the luxury tax a lot of times, but to finally get a good side and every other team know that you are just going to cash out, you just go, oh, well, we'll give you 5 cents for Cat, you know, maybe 3 cents on the dollar, but we're not going to give you fair value because you guys just want to cut salary.
Yeah.
Oh, man. He was
thinking of it like baseball, because that's the sort of shit they do in baseball. And A-Rod wanted to own a baseball team first and foremost.
Yeah.
But again, he was hooked up with some other – it might have been the same money man, but they tried to buy the Marlins, and they did not get across the line with that, because turns out the finance bro couldn't finance bro, as we said last week.
Pay your bills, people, I think is the message.
Pretty much. Well, speaking of which, Brody Kostecki is going to be back at Erebus next week.
Really?
It's such a weird situation. It's a bit like the Red Bull Formula One situation, you know, with Verstappen and Horner and all those dudes. It's pretty much just been resolved by everyone sort of gritting their teeth and pretending to play nice until the end of the year. But, yeah, he's going to turn up next week. He was the number one on his Camaro in an extremely white car, not backed by very many sponsors. I'm not saying they're doing badly commercially after Coke left and their general manager left to join Coke, but at the Australian Grand Prix, Erebus had prominent sponsorship from a company called Unsecured Finance.
That's got to be a joke, right?
I thought so too. But they don't seem like the sort of people who like a joke.
That sounds like when you get, you know, the D generation to run a skit about Formula One racing.
It's the piss weak world of finance. It's a Martin Malloy bit.
Oh my god, that's very funny.
I presume they're one of the investors in the fucking Timberwolves.
And so, will that the sponsorship roll in now that he's come back? Was the sponsorship sort of tied to him?
Or? I don't know, man. They all left. They all left, so I don't know, man. And the thing is, we'll never find out what the undercurrent was. They're also pretending, oh, no, he was just taking time off to look after his health and, you know, alluding to mental health without actually saying it. But it was, you know, all the whispers from inside the sport are that basically he and not the team owner but the team manager, who actually does own part of the team, who is this cantankerous old-school hard-headed prick, basically just fell out and didn't – because he couldn't work with him anymore. But apparently now he can. I suspect they came back to the table and said, look, you know,
you're contracted to us. You're not going to be able to drive for anyone else, and you still want to drive a car.
But I think it's also that, you know, we will also, you know, you can go somewhere else afterwards, kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, we can deal with the rest of it. I think he was coming off contract at the end of the year anyway. And part of it was also that one of his personal sponsors is Boost Mobile, who's run by this lunatic called Peter Adderton, extremely good marketer, but a fucking loose cannon. And he had previously been the lead sponsor, the main sponsor of Erebus, but they'd fallen out massively as well. So one of the requirements was that Kostecki broke up with Boost. So obviously they're going to have to find some money to pay for Brody's personal sponsorships, because he'll have to take them all off his fucking stack hat.
Yeah.
So I think Bloody Klemenko, who has more money than God as a personal individual, might be having to, you know, put her hands in a pocket. The team will still run, even though they've got unsecured finance.
Because the car will be good and the driver's obviously good, so.
Yeah, I mean, they should. It's just such a fucking bizarre situation.
There was one other motorsport one that I've been meaning to ask you about. Are Red Bull running like a ghost second team in the Formula One? Is that
not a ghost second team? They literally own a second team.
Oh, it's the one Dan Ricciardo drives for. Yeah, right.
Yeah, and it has been for years. It was originally they basically bought what used to be Minardi.
Yeah.
And made it their second team. That's who Sebastian Vettel debuted for. And he won his first race for them in like 2008. And then so that's always – it's kind of been the Red Bull Junior team. although it's a bit weird with, you know, guys like Dan Ricciardo having driven for them recently, and also Nick De Vries, who was like 28 when he drove for them, and Brendan Hartley, who was in his late 20s or maybe even early 30s when he drove for them. But the idea is that's where the juniors go when they graduate through.
That's what I couldn't work out. And then I couldn't work out whether Ricciardo was there as, like, you know, your mentor to teach racecraft to a really young guy or something, or...
That doesn't really work because the young guy is Yuki Tsunoda, and he's such a petulant little shithead. He tried to drive into Ricciardo on the cooldown lap of one of the races earlier in the year.
So probably not that much mentoring then.
Well, Ricciardo's kind of there as because last year, Sergio Perez had such a shit year that they kind of parked Ricciardo there as kind of the. Do you remember on Top Gear when they did those challenges? They always had like the shitty Volkswagen Beetle in the background, kind of stalking them. That's Ricciardo. He's there to kind of make sure nobody fucks up because if they do, they get replaced with Dan Ricciardo. But now Dan Ricciardo's doing so badly that he might get boned in favour of Liam Lawson, the young Kiwi, who subbed for him last year when Ricciardo busted his wrist. So it's basically the worst possible team to work for because your job security is nil and the people you work for are absolute cunts.
The cars are fast or not?
The cars are fast,
okay.
So it's a bit like Erebus, really.
They're the Erebus of Formula One.
Pretty much. Securedfinance.com.
Shall we wrap up the conferences until next week and then come back and talk some tunes?
We shall. I think you're off next week, aren't you? So it might be Adam and I possibly after the all the play-in games are over, or possibly with one more play-in game left to play. So we'll know what the play-in...
Depending on what night, I think... Last year we had one playing game to go.
Yeah, if we record Saturday, it'll be. I think it's. It'll all be boxed, bagged, and buried, and we'll know who's playing in the all important 4-5 NBA TV series, which is really all anybody cares about.
Yes, I'll be off coaching the Phillies for another World Cup run, so I'll see everyone in 2 weeks.
And I will talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Doc. See ya.
Children. Children, future.
Are you ready for the
children? Whoa, whoa, whoa.
The future isn't coming, hey, hey, hey.
Children, children, future, future.
I've never wanted a beer worse in my life. I love you, honey.
Are you talking to me or the beer?
To you, my bubbly, long-necked Beechwood-aged lover.
Cheers!